Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Let me just switch this up. Boy, Macri was in the gift shop.
Man, I don't see that video.
Exclusive to the Heat. Embarrassing, man. What up, Dave? See you in there.
$106.97,
right? Okay.
I think so.
All right, Julian, I see you in here. All right, JLs, ready to roll?
Yep.
All right, cool. Just look up real quick. Oh, shit. I get you, just send it here. That's how you're going to be, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so I'm going to email those chicks. I'm going to email them on tonight and just see what's the best game to get everybody together.
Cool.
Alright. Two share. Oh, just look up real quick. Alright, look up again. Alright. Okay. Alright, ready to roll, right?
Yep.
All right. I'm going to start it out. Ready? 5, 4, 3, 2. Testing. Let's test JL. Just give me some audio levels real quick, JL.
Sorry. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, and 3.
Okay. All right. Ready to roll, right?
My bad. Hold on. One last.
That's why I asked multiple times.
I had everything but my YouTube setup. It was like the big one.
Yeah. So good.
All right. Cool. All right, ready?
All right, starting up. 5, 3, 2, 1. Post game live. Sunday night Knicks. Knicks lose 106-97 to the once rival Miami Heat on Carmelo Anthony and J.R. Smith appreciation night. Jay Ellis.
Yeah.
I'm pissed, man. I'm pissed. I got to tell you, Jay Ellis. I'm not happy.
At this point.
I just so many things didn't sit well with me in this game, man. so many
things. I see what you're saying.
There's just so many things. Where can we start, man?
I see you, man.
First and foremost, let's start with the point guard situation. We had Frank back in starting at the one.
Yeah.
Starts the game off okay, fairly well. Doesn't return in the second half. Out with a strained groin. This is his opportunity, J. Ellis. This is his opportunity to do something.
That's why I'm pissed.
Unable to capitalize, man. Talk to me, man. What are you thinking, man?
That's why I'm pissed. I'm not even pissed. I'm just disappointed. I'm like, damn, yo. I'm hurt. Because I'm like, yo, I see, like, the flows happening with Frank. I see he's actually kind of running the offense real smooth. Shout out to Shells Heavy. And he's diming people up. He's having a decent game. He's shooting 50% from the field. And he has 2 weeks to get it together to be the man. And it's just like, nah, it's just not in the stars. Like, the Frank curse.
Not in the cards, man.
The Frank curse continues, man.
Not in the cards, man. Hey, what are you going to do, man? You know, feel for him. Obviously not able to capitalize out there. Finishes with 6 points, 4 dimes. But he just can't seem to get right, man. And we go third quarter once again, 29-6 run, I believe, we were outscored in the third quarter. Hold on, let me pull it up to be precise. 29-12. The Heat go on a 7-0 run in the third quarter. 29-12 overall in the third quarter. Knicks fight back in the fourth, led by Free Dot.
Me and my guy Dot.
Go on a 20-3 run. Tie the game up with 4 minutes left. This wasn't meant to be, man. Couldn't guard the three-point line. Wayne Ellington can't come to the cookout, but killed us on the three-point line.
And that was the crazy part is it was good defense. Like, the Knicks' defense was good. Like, those three-point shots that were made at the end of the game, they were very highly contested perfectly.
Yeah.
He just
created his own shot and made him in, And that was Wayne Ellington. Where were those shots when we traded for him? Like, God only knows. But
oh, he got to play.
Yeah, right. But, so it wasn't meant to be, man. 106-97. We saw Trey had a decent half. Trey had a decent half. And Trey article came out today or yesterday, last night. Trey is, once again, saying all the right things, but he's looking to get dealt. And obviously he's playing with like that, playing with a chip on his shoulder, finishes the game with 16 points, 2 dimes.
Is that true? Is it true he posted on Instagram fake news?
Oh, he did?
Yes. He didn't say fake news. He said, He said, don't believe the hype, something like that. Something.
Don't believe the hype.
Hold on, let me see.
So he caught Berman once again in his own lie.
And it was from the NY Post.
I got another gripe with the media too, man. I got another gripe with the media too.
It's funny because I saw Berman post the article yesterday.
It was last night.
It came out last night.
Yeah.
And I read it, and I was going to post it yesterday, and I paused because I was like, I don't know, Berman's track record's been iffy lately.
Yeah.
So I didn't really. And then, the Bleacher Report got ahead of it.
Okay.
They probably referenced Berman.
Yeah, they did.
And then it just kind of blew up. All right.
Yeah. Well, I just posted a quote. I posted a quote anyway. You know what I'm saying? Where Trey talks about, being maligned in this rotation, kind of like Canna. He feels like, you know, he's still in his prime. He still feels like he still has a lot to give. Whatever. And then the trade. Berman drops in his little NBA source. Says that the Knicks are trying to trade Burke for a second-round pick. You know, no surprise there, but, you know, whether it's true or not, obviously they'd be trying to deal him. I mean, I can't see him coming back. I think ISO took his spot.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, the only other play would be if they're not sold on Moutier yet and they don't think he's going to come back, then you have a guy who can come back to cheaper. That's the only thing.
You might be able to get him on the cheap. I mean, Trey could be he could be like a plan C if you don't get your point guard in the draft and you strike out on the top guys and you don't want to go into that mid-tier Bledsoe tier of point guards. Maybe you want to bring Trey back with Frank and ISO as your three guards.
Maybe.
Yeah.
If they go in that direction.
If they go in that direction. If they go in that direction. So that was the game. It really wasn't much to talk about. The game pissed me off. Carmelo Anthony Appreciation Night. Yo, it was such a weird vibe at MSG tonight, man. It was just a weird vibe, J.O.
It felt more like the Wade Appreciation Night.
Yeah, it felt more like Wade Appreciation Night.
I mean, it was just cool, but not too... Yay, but not too much.
Made me sick.
They went OD. I don't know. My guy CK was there. I don't know what CK would happen.
CK and Macri was in the building. You had the D-Wade ovation when he gets off the bench. You had the Let's Go Heat chant from the crowd.
Who the man's was that?
You had the We Want Canada chant from the crowd. You had the MVP chant from the crowd. Yo, I don't know. MSG was embarrassing tonight, JL.
Yeah, man.
Straight up embarrassing, man. I couldn't take it. I could not take this game, I could not take this game.
I had to mute it.
No, not one boo to trying to neutralize the crowd noise.
I
don't know, man.
I
was embarrassed, man. I was embarrassed,
I was waiting for the Let's Go Knicks chance to try to drown out the Heat fan boos. It never happened.
The Canner chance and Canner saluting the crowd just get this saga over with, man. Get this guy out of here. Just get him out of here. Just tell him don't show up.
CP, we almost there, dog. We almost there. We almost there, man.
Yeah, we've reached a boiling point in the season, Jay Ellis. We've reached a boiling point in the season, man. People are bailing on the tank, bro. There's no other way I can say it. Between the media stirring the pot, right?
Oh yeah.
Don't get me started with the media, man. I had to go at Bondi last night because Bondi now comes out with, oh, what happened to the Knicks building this winning culture? Followed by Berman saying Fizdale's lost the locker room. Guys are on
that one. Berman's headlines pissed me off.
Crazy, man. Crazy.
Pissed me off. Fizdale lost the locker room because one guy beating an ass? And how is that losing the rock? We were just hearing about how harmonized the locker room was from people who were there behind the scenes all the time, like a week ago.
The hit pieces, man. This is when the hit pieces start to come out. This is when the hit pieces start to come out, man.
Yeah, shout out to Rebecca Harlow. Rebecca Harlow said herself, she's surprised on how together these guys are despite all the losing. She said that herself.
Yep.
So for them to say that we lost the locker room, come on, bro.
It's just the media stirring the pot, man.
Stop it, man.
It's just
Stop
the media stirring the pot, man. I mean, listen. We knew what this year was going to bring. This team was slated to win 29 games. They'll be lucky if they win 20 at this point, J. Ellis. We knew what this was going to be. We knew what this was going to be. Right? You can't build. You cannot build a winning culture in a half a season, let alone a full season. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know what, too? I feel like some people are upset because of the way we're losing for a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But we're getting back to the close losses. That's the type you want. The close losses make you seem like we're winning. And then you're going to get a draft pick at the end of that. So, we're going to be fine.
What it's all about, man.
We got Mitch out here dunking on everybody. Then we got ISO over here getting career highs.
Yeah.
We're going to be fine, man. And I just need Frank to be healthy.
Well, that would help. Certainly be helpful, man.
Exactly. But, getting player of the month last month. I know he's been down, but that's what rookies do. They go up, they go down.
Yeah.
He'll be all right. He'll be back.
It's like these guys, one after the other, between Bondi to Berman to Isola, all of them with the same hit piece in the same day, man. It's nauseating, man. This was the plan. This team is not good, period. This team, we're not going to develop a winning culture with bad talent. We do not have the talent. We are what our record says we are. We are 10 and 30 something? What was it? 10 and 1.
Yeah.
We haven't won a game in God knows how long. We are 10 and 38.
There's one thing I will expect, though. I do expect the defense to get better, especially when you're going to have Cantor coming out.
Yes.
You're going to have Luke Kornet and Milt Robinson back. And then I expect the defense to be a lot better.
I understand that.
I was hoping that Frank can actually prove the fizz that the team looks better despite the points not being scored, despite not scoring 20 a game.
Yeah.
I really want to see Frank just prove the team runs smoother with him. So then we can really have a defensive lineup.
Right.
Because ever since the Lance and Vonleh thing, you're starting to see some kind of defense happening here. But, you know, Vonleh can't play center all the time. So depending on the matchup.
No. And Whiteside, you know, I don't like that. It's a terrible matchup for us to be given.
Yeah.
It's a terrible matchup for us, man. But Knicks fan, we got to stay the course, baby. Stay on the tank, man. Stay with the tank. You know what I'm saying, JL? It's damned if we do, damned if we don't. I'm seeing Knicks fans in my IG, on my Twitter. Oh, Fizdale's not the right coach. Fizdale stinks. I'm still hearing Mark Jackson out of the woodworks. Like, give me a break with the nonsense, man.
If Mark Jackson was hit. Yo, CP, we predicted this end of summer. Remember that?
We predicted this. What we say, JL, as I said, how many games is it going to take before it's a full-blown panic mode with this coach and the tank?
Exactly.
And here it is, game 48. I think we hit it.
We hit it, man.
We hit it. Game 48 is what it took for the fans to full out bail on the rebound, man.
And I told you. And I was like, they're going to say, oh, we want Mark Jackson. And guess what? If Mark Jackson was here this season, guess what would have happened?
The same damn thing.
Mark Jackson would be there. Boom! We should have had Jeff Van Gundy.
Yeah, right. I mean, yo, you can't make it up, man. We have got to stay the course, people. Stay with the tank. I don't want to hear now that we're losing. I don't want to hear about the draft odds now, Jay Ellis. You know what I'm saying? Now it's, oh, the draft odds, we could drop lower. So if we're losing now, we might not get the number one pick. I don't care, man. Keep it going to the bottom. All right, don't tell me we should have beat the Nets the other night because draft odds. Or don't tell me we should have beat the Nets the other night because.
No, we should have beat the Nets.
Well, yes, we should have. But don't tell me we should have won these games because the winning culture, Kevin Durant's watching our winning culture, what we're developing here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kevin Durant has a winning culture in Golden State. It don't get no better than that. And by the way, you can get another year and an extra $50 to $70 million on top of that.
Listen, man, Golden State stuck for a long time, too, though.
And they went through their process, man.
Let us go through ours.
Yeah. But it's like, go ahead.
And the thing about this, too, is we going through our process. Like, it sucks that KP is injured, right? But it's also, in a weird way, good in a weird way, only because we let these guys kind of develop with no pressure of getting to the playoffs. If KP was here, the pressure would be on. You made the playoffs this year. There might be more pressure to get pieces here to appease KP to make a run. But now that we stand, we can really, really, really try to get these young guys to develop, get another young piece here, and then make a decent run next season to see.
And that's what it's all about. It's all about the core, man. I want it. All I care about. I don't care about. I see Knicks fans talking about, oh, man, Fizz needs to go. The locker room is upset. First off, there's nobody in that locker room that I even care about if you tell me he's upset. If Ennis is upset, cool. Bye-bye. Trey Burke is upset, cool. Bye-bye. Only people I care about is KP, Knox, Iso, Mitch, Frank, and Dotson. The six players that will be here more than likely next year. That's it. And if they're unhappy, guess what? They're going to be here next year anyway. So it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? You want to tell me guys are unhappy about the constant flux of the lineups? I understand that. It is what it is. You want to tell me the offensive creativity is not there? I understand that. You want to tell me we could have been a little bit better on defense? I understand that. But I'm not ready to bail on this process, Jay Ellis. We got to stay the course, man.
Yeah, man. We stay in the course, man. We're going to keep on track. Keep developing these young guys, and eventually we're going to see some cracks happening.
Yeah.
You're going to see the progress. We had individual progress happening with some of these guys already.
Thanks.
You just got to see that progress happen as a team. We're going to be all right, man.
That's it. All right. That's
everybody calm down.
Everybody calm down. Thank you, Jay Ellis.
Everybody calm down.
Thank you, Jay Ellis. All right.
I got you.
Now, with that being said, shout out to everybody in the chat.
Number one
post-game show on YouTube for the fans, by the fans.
Back.
Subscribe to the channel. This is Knicks Fan TV. My man Jay Ellis from the Nick of Time show.
Word. I'm doing double shit for you.
Double
I already
shift.
Recorded a podcast.
And made it to the show.
Facts.
and made it to the show.
And made it to the show.
For those of you that are new, that are watching, this is what we do every game. We give you post-game analysis. We take live calls. We go to the chat, the number one YouTube chat. Yeah, man, everybody subscribe to the channel. Hit that thumbs up button for your boys. Shout out to everybody who's watching, wherever you guys are watching from, Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, KnicksFilmSchool.com, PostingAndToasting.com. First call of the night, Jay Ellis. Julian, right, as usual, wants to talk about Frank and Cannon. Julian, how you feeling, bro?
Not so hot, man. Not so hot.
I hate you, man. I hate you, man.
Yeah.
I wasn't happy about this, man.
Madison Square Garden, I'd say 70% of the people who attended the game tonight need to be banned for life. For life.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe the season ticket holders sold everything on StubHub. I don't know, man.
Must be, man. My homegirl Cassie was looking at tickets, and she was saying there was some tickets going for like $50-$60 that were pretty.
Yeah,
cool.
It had to be, man. I think the Heat fans, because you know there are some younger Heat fans that came along with LeBron and them Heat fans. And I think they must have bought up a lot of them tickets to come see Wade for the last time. I think that's what it was in the grand scheme of things.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But, thinking about it, Frank tonight, the curse, it continued.
Yeah, man.
And
can't catch a break. Frank can't catch a break, man.
It's so disgusting because, like, every time, and it never fails, he either gets injured or fouls out. Every single time, it looks like the team is heading in the right direction with him running the show. It's just, for some reason, it'll never fail. It just goes wrong. And it's really, it's starting to, like, annoy me. So
strain groin. Can't imagine he'll be back tomorrow in Charlotte.
Nah,
can't imagine that.
That 2 weeks is going to be filled up. I might be seeing some Kadeem Allen soon.
Interesting, yeah. Could be seeing some Kadeem Allen. Yeah, no, yeah. Real talk, JLS. We only got two point guards right now.
Yeah.
That's two
college backcourt. Kadeem Allen on the two-way real quick.
That's the old Arizona backcourt. That's too many old college backcourts. We gotta pack some of these boys up. Listen, Tim, I get what Breen was saying on the broadcast. He was saying, he grew up against Wade, that's why he wears number 3. But like, we know he's never gonna be something for us. Like I know what he is. He's a fifth option on a good team. But are we really gonna be a good team in 1 year? Are you really gonna tell me that? Because be hopeful, say a prayer that we're going to get KD this offseason. Breaking news, we're not going to get him. There's no, rational reason why KD would ever come here. Hurts me to say that.
No. That's another reason why I don't understand why all this hoopla from the Nets fan. Like, bro, we've been down this road already. Y'all are not relevant, regardless. You know what I'm saying? All these Nets fans, like, we're better. Why? Because y'all are at the bottom of the playoff tree? Let's not kid ourselves, man. When LeBron was a free agent, we heard the same thing, Jay Ellis. Brooklyn has a better prospects than the Knicks. And it didn't matter. We didn't get him. Neither team got him.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, man.
I'm just tight tonight, man. I'm tight.
I don't blame you, CP. I don't blame you. I understand Dwayne Wade. I think he's probably the most likable guy in the history of the NBA. I don't think you can say one bad thing about him. I respect the hell out of him as a basketball player, but you cannot be, cheering him.
Gushing.
You can't cheer a Heat player. You can't do that.
Gushing.
That's just
It's just principles, man, for us, man.
Yeah,
principles,
man.
I respect the hell out of D-Wade. He's been a classy player. You know what I'm saying, Jay Ellis? But principles, I would, if I'm in that building, I would not even snap my fingers.
Yeah, you should be treating D-Wade like Mitch should be D-Wade when he blocked him. That's what you should do. Get the hell out of here, pretty much.
Competition, man.
Exactly. It's all competition.
Yeah.
All right, you got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that cheering? No.
Nah. Can't do it, man.
Cut that out.
It's like Ewan and Joe Mourning. That's what they talked about in the telecast. Ewan and Joe Mourning used to go at it like two pit bulls. You know what I mean?
They're best friends.
I think we need more hate, man. We need more hate. Can we bring hate back?
The hate is gone from the NBA, JL.
I said, we need more hate in the NBA. We need more hate.
Yeah, it's now exchanging jerseys, man. Exchanging jerseys.
It's just gone. The pendulum swung too far the other way. Like, bring it back a little bit.
It's gone, man. Charles.
That's why I liked when like Westbrook and Durant had this beef. Like that was probably the first real beef in the NBA. Five years.
True.
I mean, you look
that's
at it, you know. I mean, other than, like, LeBron in the city of Cleveland, who had a beef for, like, 4 years or whatever. Other than that, like, there's nothing. And you know, obviously.
Ironically, cancer on LeBron.
Yeah. That's a good segue, because, you know, tonight, the We Want Kansas Chance actually probably were the most disgusting things tonight.
They were so mean,
cancer,
man.
I'm
so mean.
And you know what? When he was waving to the fans, that's disrespectful to Coach Fizz. Because you can't just like acknowledge it. That's devaluing Fizz's decision to put
man.
You on the bench.
Been telling y'all, man, get this clown out of here.
I said it from the start of the season. I told y'all the first night against Atlanta. This is not our dude. We don't need him here. Get him out of here. Send him back to where he came from. You know,
he looks a lot better than that next to KP.
Yeah, everyone looks a hell of a lot better next to KP. I would too.
That's true.
Yeah, miss KP, man.
Yeah, man.
Miss KP, man. All right, Julian. Appreciate it, bro. Hang in there, man. Hang in there. Man. See you tomorrow, man. All right, man. All right, next up, Anthony in New York. He wants to talk about what are we going to do with Cannon. Anthony, what's happening, bro?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing tonight?
Good. All right, could be better, man, but, you know, hanging in there, man.
It's all right, man. Our day's going to come, man. I can feel it, man. I can see it in the development, man.
I hope so, man.
That's what I did.
No, but I wanted to talk about Cannon, man. We got to get this guy out of here, man. You know, I like the guy, and I love the fake love he has for New York, because I think he's going to love any city he goes to.
Any team that pays him, right?
I just think he was all in on OKC. You know, I just think that's the type of guy he is. But, you know, I don't like, you know, we're trying to build a positive culture. You know, we're trying to go away from our old habits of always being in the news for negative things, and he knows that, and for him to go and say what he's saying publicly, it rubs me the wrong way. And you know, if he feels the way, and I get why he feels the way he does. You know, he's a young guy, and he wants to play him as a contract year for him. But no, we didn't, you know, have a team option. He chose to stay with us, and him and his agent knew the situation we was in. And, you know, to come back and now act like we're the bad guys and paint this picture, you know, like, you know, we're holding him hostage. Like, nah, that's not right, man. You know?
All facts.
We really got to get
all
rid
facts.
Of him.
All facts, man.
And those chants today, we want Cannon. Oh, man. You know, the problem is most of the people that go to the game are not Knicks fans. They're tourists. And, you know, that just comes, I guess, with the nature of being from New York, but – We got to do better, man. We got to make the garden like it used to be, man. It's sad.
You know. I get giving ovation for Wade, but Jesus, like, have some pride. Like, have some pride in our team. It sucks, man. It sucks.
Anthony hit it right on the head, man. Right on the head, bro. Appreciate it, bro.
Y'all fellas, man. Have a good night, man.
You too, man. You too, absolutely, man.
Yeah, we only got like 10 more days of this.
For the trade deadline?
Oh, yeah. Trade deadline, February 7th. Today is the 27th. And then there's 30 days past September. I think so again, we have 31 days, right?
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, 11 more days, whatever.
Get this guy
out of here. It's almost over, Dan. It's almost over.
Get this guy out of here, man.
it's almost over. He'll probably be most likely be bought out.
Yeah.
But it's almost over, and we'll be seeing Canterbury. I think by the time he's bought out, Luke Kornet will be healed.
Yeah.
And we'll be all right.
What'd you make of the makeshift Carmelo Anthony appreciation night? I miss Melo, man. I'm not going to lie, man. I feel bad.
I appreciate it, man. It's like, yo, it's Melo, man. Melo came here.
Man.
He's part of it, ingrained in the city. Once a Nick, always a Nick.
Yeah.
I could appreciate that. I mean, I felt like we kind of, like, they did him dirty right before he left. I mean, it wasn't really this regime. It was the Bill regime. So, to have a nice little last-minute makeshift send-off was pretty cool. I was hoping that would happen. I was hoping Dolan wouldn't do anything stupid.
Yeah. No, I didn't think they would have bad blood with him.
Yeah.
I didn't think that would ever occur, you know. It just, Melo, just like Steph, just like everything else, just like Sprewell, it all ends sour, man. It all ends with a thud, man.
Oh, every time.
Every time.
Seemingly.
Every time, man. Then later on in the night, we saw J.R. Smith was in the crowd.
Word.
Looking like a hobo. J.R. dipped off the Cavs tank early.
Oh, yeah, he wasn't having it.
Before Cavs tank even hit the battlefield, J.R. was like, yeah, man.
He's like, I'm out.
Yeah,
I'll be home.
Yeah, I'll be at the crib. My man didn't even want to play basketball, J.R.
Nope. He's like, you're not playing me. I'm out of here.
What a weird night at MSG, man. Weird night at MSG. Will from LI wants to talk about the atmosphere in MSG tonight. Will, were you at the game, or are you just going off of what you heard?
Nah, what up, y'all? Nah, this is just what I saw. First off, CP, I love that new design you put out. What is it, Mitch Please? For the shirt.
Oh, that Mitchell Robinson joint. In the stores now, people.
Clean.
You know what I'm saying? In stores now. Get
that
your money, Mitch
clean.
T. Link in the video description. We got them in white. We got them in blue. We got them in black. We got the hoodies. Link in the video description.
Oh, my God.
30% off until February 2nd, Super Bowl Saturday. 30% off the entire Knicks Fan TV collection. I got more designs on the way. Okay, well, back
Very
to you.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah, man. Yo, it was a weird night. A weird night overall.
Very weird.
First off, I expected the crowd to be like, how when Melo came back, we give him, the standing ovation, but after that, we just boo him, That's what I was expecting. Okay, Dwayne came in, we got the standing ovation, all right. Then you started getting the MVP chants and the wave that they were doing. I'm like, what is this?
It's crazy. Somebody said on Twitter when they were doing the Let's Go Heat chants, Melo was shaking his head.
Mm. Yeah, that's crazy. It's like, I don't know what type of fans these were. I mean, I'm hoping that the season ticket holders just sold it off to, like, Tim Duck and Harry or whatever, because I didn't like that at all. First it was the MVP chant. Then they came up with the Canada chant. And just like Julian said, that is disrespectful for Canada to be like, waving,
Professionalism, man. Sit on your hands, bro.
Listen,
he just can't contain his emotions. He just cannot contain his emotions, man.
Exactly. Remember way back in the earlier season, I said, like, oh, nah, Canada is it. He's doing all this stuff for the community. Listen, I said that because Melo was, and it didn't work out. I still wanted something tangible, right? Nobody liked McBuckets. I didn't like him. And all this other stuff. So I was like, okay, listen. We got Kanter. I want something. I want Melo to turn into something valuable. And at the time, I thought that Mitch was going to get, like, G League time and wasn't really going to be playing for us that much. So I was like, okay, so Kanter's it. That's why I was so heavy on Kanter, especially after, he stood up for Frank and everything. But listen, man, he's really showing his true colors, because this is a real selfish, it's
Very.
Like, listen, if you – You knew what it was. You opted in. You took $18 million, all right? Like, you said playoff. You said that. Nobody else thought that, all right? And now you're feeling butthurt. Listen, that's fine, but now you're causing so much of a distraction. Listen, he just has to go,
That's it.
That's what it is at the end of the day. I mean, good on you. Good on you for seeing right through it. I don't know what type of sixth sense you got. You saw right through it at the beginning of the season. Good on you, CP, but that's what it is. overall, MSG got to be better. Us fans got to be patient. This is what tanking looks like. You know, this is what the development is. There's going to be a lot more losing, but we're going to be better for it at the end of the day. I think we'll be fine. Just talk all these Knicks fans off the ledge. You know, we don't want
that's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, man, that's what we're here for.
Get it, Jalen, man.
No, no big statement. Just that's what we're here for. Talk Knicks fans off the ledge. It's going to be okay.
We're going to be all right, man.
All things, it's all going to be all right.
We're going to be all right, man.
Yeah, you don't have to jump off any high curves or anything. You're going to be all right. You're going to get a high draft pick. And
It's just like the thing I said to Bondi, because Bondi said yes late last night. He was like, oh, to think how some Knicks fans want to blame the media for the Knicks losing. I'm like, yo, Knicks fans aren't idiots. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, any sensible Knicks fan is not going to blame the media for the Knicks losing. The Knicks are what they are. They're a 10-win team right now, and they look like it. But that was the plan. You know what I mean? We are with the plan.
No one's blaming you for the losing.
No one's blaming the media.
The narrative is coming out.
That's what I said. I said, but you guys stir the pot and don't stunt like you don't. It's media. Think about it this way. If it was just a whole other industry in terms of competition. You got New York Daily News. You got New York Post. You got Newsday. You got New York Times, right? These were the traditional outlets of our day, JLS, right? The four main players, right? Now, and these guys themselves back in the day were competing for our subscribership, our loyalty. Now, you take independent blogger sites, Knicks Film School, Posting and Toasting, what we're doing now. These guys are competing. These guys are jobs on the line, bro. That's how you got to look at it. So, of course, they're going to throw a wrench into these storylines, because media is always about sensationalism, whether it's print media, whether it's news media, whatever the case may be. There's always going to be that little, depending on where you are, if you're with National Enquirer, you're going all the way up in terms of sensationalism.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you always have to expect that. And I think coming up when we came up, you expect it.
Yeah.
That's what I told him. I was like, it's the nature of the beast.
It is nature of the beast. But the thing is, like, as time is going on, CP, the fans are getting smarter.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
The fans, like, you're not going to be able to pull the same tricks you pulled this year that you pulled in 3 years ago. Like, the fans are getting smarter. They were like, they're going to call you on your bull now.
Exactly. And that's what's going on. This guy, Nick's Twitter's coming for heads out here, man.
Yeah, like, chill, dog. Like, pull out all receipts. All the old receipts, because a few months ago, you were talking about how Fizz knew that it wasn't no big expectation, and now you're saying it's Fizz's fault Fizz's fault that we didn't reach the promised land or the playoffs.
Saying, where's the winning culture? Now they're saying, oh, but look at the draft odds. We're losing all these games. No number one pick guarantee, right? Then when we win these games and get into the lottery and don't get the number one pick, oh, but y'all should have lost some more games. You know what I'm saying?
This media.
That's it. But like what you said, we are getting a lot smarter. And, you know, these guys just like to play that antagonist role. Listen, it's what makes Skip Bayless Skip Bayless.
Work. Shout out to Ian Begley.
Shout out Begley. Somebody in the chat mentioned Chris Herring. I like Chris Herring, too.
Chris Herring. Yo, shout out Chris Herring.
Yeah.
Shout out our dude from the Atlantic, Mike.
Yeah, Borkanoff.
Mike Borkanoff.
Yeah.
Shout out to the media who don't be sensationalized stuff.
Yeah.
No
really
axe
to grind.
Yeah, Rebecca Harlow. Shout out to all those guys. Shout out.
No axe to grind. You could see the true, genuine nature of these guys reporting, man. Those guys that you just named. Absolutely.
I'm going to be bigging those guys up a lot more, yo.
Factuals. Shout out everybody in the chat. Hit that thumbs up button for your boys. This is Post Game Live. Shout out. Alex Collins is back with us from Ireland. Took some time off.
Thanks, Alex. Yo, Alex is going through my old KOT catalog. He's liking stuff from year one, episode three.
True fan. Man, true fan. Go to Nick of Time Show. We're trying to get the Nick of Time Show to 1,000 subscribers. People, go to the Nick of Time Show and subscribe. I'm trying to get to 10,000 myself.
Right.
Hit that subscribe button. Best way to support us, whether it's Knicks Fan TV, Nick of Time Show.
Shout out Tommy Bear, too.
Tommy Bear is excellent. Very smart guy. Hit that thumbs up button for your boys and share these videos with your fellow Knicks fans. Those are the three most important things you could do to subscribe to this channel. Frank Matos from West Palm Beach, what's going on? I see you. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Harry in Ohio. He wants to talk about the Canada situation. Harry, how you doing, man? Are you a new caller, man?
Hey. Yeah, hey, what's up, bro? How y'all doing?
Good, how you feeling, bro?
Good, man. All right, bro, so basically the thing is with the Canada situation, like, most of, like, first of all, I'm from Turkey. Like, I know his problem with the political and shit. Like, he's really having a tough time right now.
You're Turkish.
Yeah. I'm Turkish.
I got you.
I met him personally and stuff, like, and his brother Cherem Cantor, who's my friend too. He was playing Xavier.
Okay.
The thing is, bro, with the Cantor situation, I know, like, I was like listening to you guys all the time. The thing that he put on, like, the post game, I don't like that either. But he's like, besides basketball and all that, The problems that he's having in the personal life, he might be affected by the problems that he's having in his personal life. I feel like he's a really solid guy, especially on the bench.
Yeah.
He might really put up numbers for competitor teams if he gets traded to, like, competitive or even a buyout situation. But I don't know, man. He just, the first season, like, I started following Knicks after Cantor guys traded. Like, I'm going to be honest. And, like, I started to follow you guys, like, afterwards. But the thing is, I really like the Knicks, like, where, like, Knicks is going on the physio. Like, I was really following the physio. Like, you know how he's trying to improve the young talents and stuff, which is fair. And the Cantor situation is totally – I totally agree with the fans and all that, how Cantor, spoke about the running and stuff. And which is, like, New York media is not used to that, and it's just really affecting everyone up. But the thing is, bro, I don't know, like, I'm just going to ask you this, bro. Like, last year, you know how you were paired with KP and stuff? I don't know, I was just seeing him signing with the Knicks with, like, maybe, like, 10 mil, 8 mil, 2-year contract, but then this KP injury, and then this year, like, how the, like, shit turned out, it just ended up, like, not good at all. Like, I don't know, like, how you guys... to, like, think about this, and I don't know, man, but just people think about his defense and shit, but, like, I don't know, he can be, like, I mean, he was solid with the KD and Westbrook, and OKC, like, I don't know if you guys remember that, those times, but.
I mean, well, here's the thing, and appreciate the call, Harry, here's the thing, Jales, first and foremost, it's not a personal thing with Canada, we understand the strife that he's going through with his country and why you would feel sympathetic to him for that. We on that front, I hope everything's A-okay. You know what I'm saying? You know, we have our own political issues in this country, but it doesn't seem like it even comes close to what some of these guys go through in other countries. With that said, it's just bottom line, it comes to his style of play and the contract. They don't mix. That's it. What do you got to say on that, JL? They just don't mix.
Yeah, it's like, I have to admit, because, you know, me and you, we've been doing the show for a while. We actually started out Instagram kind of doing last season.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of did a little post games on Instagram. And I was copping for Cantor. Like, I was defending Cantor because I liked the way KP and Cantor looked together. Because Cantor didn't really have the defense thing going, but he was a rebound machine.
Right.
And KP... he was blocking everything in sight, but he couldn't get a rebound for nothing.
Yeah.
So I felt like those two together
kind of complimented each other.
It seemed like they complimented each other, and I thought it could work out. I mean, the bad thing about KP being here is it makes Cantor's flaws kind of, you know, magnify.
Yeah.
Now you don't have a KP next year. Now defense is really, really bad now, and you don't know what to do. So, like, and on top of that, like you said, Fizdale right now, he wants a switching defense. He wants to be able to switch everything.
Yeah.
And from 1 to 5. That's really, really what he wants to do. And Cantor doesn't really fit that mold. So I kind of agree with you. He would look nice next to KP. I still think might be able to. But with the money mixed with the fix and the new bigs coming in here and the style that Fizz wants to play, I don't think it's going to work long term. But at some point, though, we're still going to need a rebounder on this team. Because even with Cantor gone, like, we still have a problem with rebounding.
I agree. And it shows. It shows. Listen, when he's not in the game, we get crushed on the boards. It shows. We're playing very undersized. You know, Mitch doesn't get that many boards. Vonleh's playing undersized. Cornette is Cornette. But that's just all it is with Cannon, man. Listen, you saw it last year when Billy Donovan, or not last year, the year before that, when they were in the playoffs. And he was perplexed. He was on the bench, and you seen him pantomiming it to his bench. Like, yo, we can't play Cannon.
Yeah.
That's the problem. You can't play Cannon.
Yeah, ultimately, Cantor will be a good bench role in a lot of places.
Yeah. That's it. That's it, man. Who else we got in the chat here? BKB, what's going on? Frank Sandberg, I see you. Frank Matos, Michael Harris, what's going on out there? Everybody in the chat. Next call, Jay Ellis. Kevin from North Carolina wants to talk about Ja Morant and the outlook of the season. Kevin wants to switch the topics up. What's going on, Kevin?
Ja! What's up? Y'all can hear me?
I'm loud and clear, man.
Hi, what's up, man? I'm back. I'm the president of the Ja Morant fan club. Just want to keep everybody updated.
What up, Kevin?
I just want to keep everybody updated with what's going on. He dropped 24 and 9 assists on just yesterday. Just keeping everybody updated.
Okay.
And
okay.
I'm still playing
the highlights from the 40 piece, but I got to get that 29 pointer.
Okay, the ankle healed up.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yep. So you said he dropped how much? 29 and how much assists? 9 assists.
I'm sorry, I didn't
hear 24 and 9.
24 and 9. But yeah,
24
and 9. The 24.
Okay.
But John Moran a little bit, but I overheard a caller. I think it was Julian, the first caller. Y'all was talking a little bit about Kadeem Allen, one of the dude we signed on a 10-day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's on a 2-way, not a 10-day.
He's on a 2-way. 2-way for 2 years.
Yeah. And the reason I had mentioned that is because down here in North Carolina, in Wilmington, North Carolina, I actually played against him. And he went to the high school, like I was like not too far away from mine. And I can only give you buckets.
You got game, Kev, or was this dude tearing you up, man? What was going on down here?
Let me tell you about this dude, Kadeem, man. This dude is about a bucket, man.
he switched the topic, like, yeah. Ellis. Kevin, Kadeem Allen was busting Kevin's ass down there. Now we're just playing with you, Kevin. We're just playing. Go ahead, man.
Because he was bust our ass.
Yeah, of course.
It's all good. But on a serious note, like, it just shows how much how different the NBA level is. Cause I've seen this dude play in person, man. This dude was an animal, and I hope he gets a chance.
I'm sure.
He was I definitely hope he gets a chance for the Knicks, especially with all these injuries. But because even playing in Arizona for the Pac-10, I think he was all defense in the Pac-10. Like he has that dog, and I would love to see another defensive player come up on the Knicks. You know. I definitely would like to see that. But another question I have for y'all is, and I'm going to give my take on it. What would be y'all's definition of a successful end to the season? My version would be like a top three pick, either Tim Hardaway gone, a healthy Porzingis, and like maybe like a decent free agent or two. Don't have to be KD, but you know my successful end to the season. What y'all think about that? Or what would be your opinion?
What's yours, Jales?
I think that has a lot to do with it. I do want to see KP coming back. You know, some 10 games, getting loose on some people, showing people that he's back, but not, you know, not win. You know, play some, like, 15, 20 minutes a game, show out a little bit. I want to see continued growth from our youth. That is my youth, them, Frank. Definitely, yep. First and foremost, that's the last piece to me that I really want to see take a step. Frank and Knox, too, because he's taking the dip down. But I want to see these young guys take a step and actually get us excited for the future. And, of course, everything else you mentioned as well.
Yeah.
And you know what? If we can move a piece, free up a little bit of cap space, that'll be dope. I'll actually like that.
I agree with that. I think for me, mine would be similar to you guys. Definitely top three, without a doubt, top three. If we could get Courtney Lee out of here, that would be great. If we can get Timmy out, I mean, I'm kind of 50-50 on Timmy. You know, I'm not necessarily trying to push him out, but if we traded him, I wouldn't be mad either. But if one of those two guys, if we're able to get one of those two guys out and get some more cap relief, I think that would be a good thing. And
yeah, but I just don't want to give – I still want Frank here.
Yeah. And on top of that, as JL has said, I want to see some more consistency from Frank, more consistency from Knox. And, I'm not really too sure what to expect from Mitch from now to the end of the year because he's
still following.
Yeah, Fizdale was happy about that. He kept his fouls down today.
Stop fouling.
That would be mine, man. Is a little cap relief, some more good play from the youngsters, and finish in that bottom three.
One of my centers actually starts to rebound too, because I still really want to be definitive about who's going to play next to KP. And I know KP's rebounding isn't a strong point. So I really want to see who's going to step up and rebound.
Yeah, that'd be nice too. I think that made some good points. That's what's up. All right, man. I appreciate y'all letting me call in, man. But I will say this. Keep John Moran on your minds, man. That's the truth coming up.
John's on the mind. He's on the radar.
Jazz on the radar, man. I've been hearing some stuff about the Darius Garland too, man. We got to book Spencer front office high and start doing some more breakdowns with him.
Oh yeah.
That's the guy that's gonna get it done for us.
No, that's for sure. And he actually dropped some knowledge. He dropped like a little big board.
Yeah.
A couple days ago.
Yeah. So he's very detailed with the scouting report. So we're definitely going to get Spencer on. And, man, happy Sunday, everybody. Hit that thumbs up button for your boys. If you guys don't want to call in, phone lines are open, 657-383-1509. If you don't want to call in, there's a link to the Q&A, which we'll get to in a little bit. If you guys want to submit your questions there, we will get to them. JLS, how you feel about player ratings tonight, man? I don't know, man.
We could
dabble, I guess.
See
what happens here.
I mean, I got my three, I guess.
Who's your three?
I'm gonna say Burke three.
Okay.
Burke three came out here 16.
Okay.
16. I wish he had more assists, though. He had two assists.
Yeah. Well, that's a trade game, isn't it?
Yeah. I would like to have that more up to four or five. I would say Trey, number two. Dot almost got the number one spot for me. he was very close.
Mm-hmm.
He was very close. But he pretty much single-handedly brought us back.
Yep.
In that fourth quarter. If it wasn't for the turnovers that happened in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I would give him number one, even if he had less points than Timmy, only because the defense was just so filthy that he just kind of willed us.
Yeah.
And
I was happy to see that.
Yeah, and I'm going harder with number one. Pretty controlled. Yeah, I'm gonna go for the one tonight.
Okay.
Pretty controlled for the most part. Defense unit percentage until it took that last shot when the game was over.
Mm-hmm.
We would have had like a 46%, which is pretty good until that last shot.
Yep.
But the five assists is what I really like from
you. That was good.
The five assists. And I'll get to you.
Okay. I'm going to go with my number three is going to be Mario Hezonja.
That's a good one.
I'm going to go with Mario Hezonja with the three. Legitimately, I thought he had a good game. 12 points, 5 boards, 3 steals. 4 for 10 from the field. I thought Mario he picked up his play. He tried to get us back into the game, him and Dotson, in that fourth quarter. I thought Mario had some moments for us.
You know what I liked about Mario? Mario's off-ball defense has been pretty good.
Yeah.
In general.
Mm-hmm.
The walk-up threes, though, at the top of the key, he don't seem like he's
interested.
No.
Yeah. No.
Well, we need when he's on the ring playing that kind of like roaming football role, like trying to get the, he's pretty good at that.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Mario tonight. I like Mario tonight. He played well. Definitely played well. Number two, I'll go Dotson. Try to lead us back in that fourth quarter. Love the curl play for Dotson. He's pretty automatic with that play.
Yeah.
He's been having a struggle. He's been battling through. 14 points on the night, though. 5 of 9 from the field. 2 of 5 from 3. It's a good play for Dotson. Good play for Dotson. Went up against New Wave tonight.
All right.
And number one, yeah, I'll give Timmy number one. But 6 boards and 5 dimes. You know, the scoring, the points are the points. You know he's always going to get those.
No, you don't.
Well, I mean, whether it's on 16 shots or 25 shots, you know he's going to get at least 20, you know, high teens, 20.
He was damn near efficient. Pretty close to being efficient. That's all.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen some crazy stat on Timmy's inefficiency. I'm going to show you all that.
Oh, yo, yeah. I know. I talked about that earlier today.
So I would say my ratings for Dot and Mario and even Trey, I'd probably give him some 7s. I think that's pretty fair. I think that's pretty fair for almost all, really.
Yeah.
Timmy as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Nah, I give you that.
I think 7s across the board is pretty fair for Dotson, Burke, Zonia, Timmy, you know.
I'm with it. No 8s for them. He got to do something crazy for him.
Yeah, no 8s. I didn't like this. I didn't like it. You know. That third quarter really is what took us out of it.
Yeah, man. It had me thinking if Frank was here, would the defense would have been as bad? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I think we'd have been substantially, we'd have held the court a little bit better.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I want. I can't wait. I really want to see the lineup back. I really want to see the Frank, Mitch, Vonleh lineup back again with Dotson. I really want to see that.
Yeah.
I really want to see that again, man. Hopefully it's coming. But we might see one with Luke. Who knows?
Yeah, might see it, man. Might see you with ISO Luke on the way back. Sean Shepard in the chat. What's going on? Cody in the chat as well. Shout out Famo CH. What were your guys' player ratings, man? Give us your player ratings on some of these guys. Trey Burke, Mario Hezonja, Damian Dotson, Tim Hardaway Jr. What were your player ratings for these guys, man? But let us know in the comments. Leave it in the chat. Leave it in the comments section. Let us know. Yeah, man. That was the player ratings. You get through those real quick. All right, next up, Jay Ellis. Next up on the phones, we got Ari from Manhattan. He wants to talk about Fizdale and the trade deadline.
Okay.
Well, before we get to Ari, let's just get to this real quick on the trade deadline. Well, we talked about the Trey Burke thing, right? The Trey Burke trade rumor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we touched on that. Yeah, we did.
We touched on the Trey Burke trade rumor. Earlier in the show, supposedly he's on the block, which is not surprising. You know, everybody should be on the block, honestly, except for KP and maybe, you know, Knox. But supposedly the Lakers, the Warriors, and the Nets are interested. What do you think is going to happen here, JLS, at the deadline? Do you think Trey can get moved?
It's a possibility. It's definitely a possibility. I really don't know what's going to happen, man.
Yeah.
With the fake news thing happening, with his response going, and if it coming from Berman, I'm not sure if it's real or not, to be honest with you.
Maybe it's real, but I think...
Maybe it is, though.
The quote that said that he wants to be traded, I think that's probably what he was knocking as fake news.
Okay. I can... You know what? That's a good point.
Yeah.
Because he has been quoted by saying he wants to be here. I've heard him say that.
Right.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
So that's actually a good point.
Yeah.
But I can see him being moved because, like, he does some nice things, and his team's out there who he's a point guard, and if Nick's trying to build up assets, one, and knowing Fizz wants to have a switching type of style of a defense, like, I could see him seeing, like, I want a bigger guard here, even though Trey kind of fills, like, a role for the swing point guard bench. So
yeah.
I can see that happening.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I don't see any of these guys getting dealt. you know, if an injury happens or something and a team is looking for, you know, some depth at the back end of the rotation, maybe. It's possible. You know, listen, Trey gives you what Trey gives you off the bench. He gives you a little bit of scoring off the bench. Can we get a second round or four, maybe?
Hell yeah. Second round for Trey?
It's possible. It's possible. I don't see it that likely. What do you guys think in the chat about
that? I don't think that's a...
Yeah.
Am I bugging? I don't think that's like a tall order.
I mean, not necessarily tall. I'm talking about more possibility-wise. I think it's maybe a 30% possibility that he even gets dealt. I think it's about a 30% possibility.
I feel like if the Knicks are shopping him, I think he definitely get a second round of the trade.
Yeah.
Am I being biased? I don't think so. Am I?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think all these guys on this team are second-round talents right now in terms of trade value.
Yeah, I don't see no problem with that.
All these guys are second-round talents. Would you bring him? Would you be open to bringing him back next year, though?
Depending on the situation.
Yeah.
Depending on the situation, like who's available. We got a bunch of guys. There's a lot of free agents available next season. So it depends on who's a free agent.
Yeah.
Who are we drafting? Am I sold on Moutier? The problem is, like, we have a bunch of guards who right now are backup.
Right.
That's the problem. Really.
Yeah, that's it.
So, it's like, how many backups can you have? I guess back to them, too. But, you know, you feel like to have Trey as your third backup isn't the worst thing in the world. But he's going to want.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's not. It's like, but he's 26. So, usually your third backup isn't somebody who's 26 still trying to, like, get in it. You know what I'm saying?
That's true, too. And he wants to play.
Yeah.
He wants to play, so.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it's like, it'll be easier if somebody emerged as the full front runner number one option. Because if Frank came out and was like, yo, I'm the full number one option, I'm ready to take that reign, then I'd be like, okay, bring Trey back. Right?
Right.
But since Frank is not ready yet, Moutier
could have more of the same.
Yeah, then it's like, all right, now we got decisions.
Could have more of the same. You know, if you have a Trey here with a Frank here, maybe with even a drafted point guard here, you could have more of the same, that point guard carousel.
Exactly. Yeah,
point guard carousel. So
they're like, you figure at that point, because everybody's is kind of a second tier right now, two people probably have to go.
Yeah. That's why I think it's going to end up being Trey and Moutier. Things gonna be in Trey Moody.
You
know what I mean? Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But back to the phones. Let's get Ari's take on it. Ari, what do you say, man? What's your what do you think about this Trey Burke rumors and whatnot?
Hey, what's up, guys? Honestly, hey. I don't really care much about the Trey Burke rumors. Second round pick's not really anything I'm really interested in. I would actually rather have Trey Burke than a second round pick. I think he might actually be the guy. I think he might actually be the guy that stays here because they don't have to pay him as much as they would have to pay Moutier.
That's what I'm saying. It could be a cheap alternative.
Yeah.
Could be.
That's what I was saying earlier. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's what I think. Now, you know, I remember last time I called in, I think it was after the Rockets game. I was talking about trade deadline and how, you know, that was when the article came out that teams were actually calling about Hardaway and Courtney Lee, and then you guys were saying don't attach an asset, and I was saying you got to attach an asset to get these guys out of here. And what I wanted to say, which I got cut off because I know you guys had a lot of callers that day, but, you know, not all assets are created equal, right? I'm not saying trade Kevin Knox with, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr., get him out. I'm not saying, like, Mitchell Robinson, ISO, and these guys. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, like, Vonleh, he's not going to be back. We're not going to be able to pay him. He's not going to be back. He outplayed his time in New York. He's our best player, like, all around, all right? And it would be stupid not to package him with one of these guys to get him out. And I think the same thing about Emmanuel Moutier, maybe not to the same extent as Vonleh, but what, am I really going to want to pay Emmanuel Moutier $8 million a year to eat into our cap space to have him be an okay player? Like, no. So I'd rather attach him. Like, these are minimal, marginal assets we're talking about. We're not talking about real assets.
I would put Vonleh in a package if it meant trading Courtney Lee or Tim Hardaway. I'd do that in a second. No problem.
What about Moody?
Oh, Moody is the best.
Are you asking if I would trade Emmanuel Moody tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay. I could. Tomorrow.
Right.
I do that. Vonleh, if I have a choice, like, I can understand people want to trade Vonleh because you figure he might not be here. But if you can trade Moody and package it, I'll do that in a heartbeat. And then at least we'll have a little bit of money to sign Vonleh for like a short-term deal. And then see if you can do it again. Because like, we figure you're not going to get KD next season. You have to just kind of retool. So I would do that.
Tomorrow. Tonight.
Right. Tonight, all right. Tonight. Fair enough. But I'm just saying, like, you know, I think that, you know, listen, if we don't clear the cap space, then, you know, you're talking about a long, long-term build. So you're talking about, you know, these guys are like 20 years old. You're talking about 5 years before anything like really legitimate happens, right? So, you know, or like 3 to 5 years, you know what I mean? And I personally, I can't take this anymore. I can't take this losing. I heard Miami Heat chant
yeah, like year one.
Ari's year one of the rebuild, of the real rebuild, man.
I know, but it's been a 20-year rebuild. It's like, what is this? Like, I think New York is a
New York is a
destination. I'm telling you, and this
is
the one difference that, like, when LeBron didn't come in 2010. I understand that. We didn't have Kristaps back then. You know what I mean? I remember back in the day when San Antonio, David Robinson got injured. They tanked the season. They got Tim Duncan. The year later, they won the chip. Right? So it's like, you know, you have to think about it. Like, seriously, if you can move Tim Hardaway Jr. or Cornelia, and that'll open up, let's say, one spot, right? I'm not saying you're telling – and then next year we have two spots open. You really don't think – two stars are going to come to want to play with Porzingis, a top three pick this year, and, you know, hopefully Kevin Knox develops. Like, you don't think that's, like, a legitimate thing? Like, I think Kevin Durant would be actually, out of all the people, I think he would be the one because he's already solidified his legacy. The one thing he gets ripped for is joining a winning team. You know, LeBron went to a team that was, like, well, the Lakers were trash last year. You know what I mean? If you can pitch Kevin Durant – on the fact you could play with Kristaps, and, you know, everyone talks about this extra year that he can get and get more money in Golden State, but he can make up that money in marketing dollars and business ventures in New York City.
I don't believe that, man. He could do that in Golden State. Yo, those guys at Golden State, they can build him an app or something like that. It's Silicon Valley, man. He's in the perfect.
All right, so he could get into, you know, investment banking with Goldman here. Who knows? I don't know. But what I'm just trying to say, you know,
make him a partner at Goldman Sachs, right?
Listen, whatever it is, and even if it's not him, I'm just saying, like, cap space is in itself an asset. Like, I would, and this is where you guys are going to disagree with me. I would trade Frank to get rid of Tim Hardaway Jr. Honestly, I really would. And I would do whatever it takes necessary to open up two spots, besides trading Kevin Knox, Kristaps, or Mitchell Robinson. And I think if you do that, I think two spots. I think it's a no-brainer. I think people will be knocking down the door to come here. You get two spots open. What do you guys think?
Oh, absolutely. But
go ahead, Jails. Appreciate the call.
You know what it is too? It's sustainability too. I think that's the other part of it too. Right? It's sustainability because we'll have like, you don't want to get rid of every young piece we have for that super old veterans. Like, I love KD. KD is 30s. You know, how many years does he have? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, at that.
Like, we got a window.
On that foot, I'm still taking him. Don't get me wrong.
I'm still taking him. That's why I'm saying I'm playing that balance game where I'm not throwing out all the young pieces for all the veterans all at once. That's all I'm saying. But if you can do it smart, then we can do it smart. But I still feel like we have to kind of build a cupboard of young pieces. So.
We got to build a core. We got to build a foundation. You know, I just want some promises. I would trade Timmy, but I just don't want to just do blind cap space dumps and not have any direction.
Yeah, and you know what it is too. It's like I feel like there's a time for that type of move too.
Yeah.
Because if we were to trade Frank to Timmy, and then we have enough cap space for Kevin Durant, and I knew Kevin Durant was coming here, that's different.
Right. Oh, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Kevin Durant's not coming here by himself
tonight,
which is why I keep saying I'm not doing that trade, because Kevin Durant's not coming here by himself.
Yeah.
He's not. Why would he come here when he goes to the Clippers? Why? Why? He can start, he's staying with Golden State.
He's staying with Golden State, man.
Like, it's not – I don't see it. I don't see it. We would have to move too, like he said. And
yeah.
To move too, we'd have to – the teams would smell the desperation, and then we have to bite the farm like we did last time, empty the cupboard, and then we'd be – three stars and a bunch of veterans and rebuilding in 3 to 4 years.
It's true. It's true, man. I don't know. I hear you, Ari, man. I hear what you're saying, man. You're frustrated with the tank. You can't take it anymore. I hear the desperation and frustration from Knicks fans. But listen, man, we got to stay patient with this thing.
The problem is we didn't really tank while building up.
Yeah, we didn't build properly.
It wasn't a real tank. It was never a real tank. We were losing, but it wasn't a tank.
Facts. It was an unproductive losing seasons.
Yeah. But you didn't gain anything from it.
Facts. All right, a couple more calls. Appreciate the call. All right, we got Rock and we got Sylvester. Sylvester wants to talk about drafting a point guard. Sylvester from Uptown, what's going on, man?
Yo, what's good, brother, man? I called in like 2 months ago. My Instagram, Slizzy Takes, are always commenting on y'all stuff. Shout out to Jay Ellis, man. He always commenting back to me. I'm going to get right into it, though.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, what's up, man? What's up, man? Let me get right into it, though. My reasoning for not drafting Ja Morant, one, I don't want us to draft another rookie point guard, and then we're going to have to go through 2 more years of a rookie point guard, and we got to develop him. Kevin Durant is not coming in with no rookie point guard, regardless of what anybody says. That's my one belief. So I believe that we got to trade Timmy and trade Courtney Lee. I don't really like Ja Morant's shooting form. Like I said before, his shooting percentages is bad. He does everything else elite, though. So I wouldn't mind Ja Morant. My second thing is, if we draft Zion, I feel like Zion, we will run the offense through Zion. Like, kind of like how Golden State runs the offense through Draymond and have everybody mm-hmm. come on cuts and screens. So that's my reasoning for drafting Zion. And he plays with a lot of energy. And my last thing that none of y'all mentioned yet, my mm-hmm. ideal free agency, if we could get KD, I would love to get Patrick Beverley too. Nobody talks about Patrick Beverley.
That's a small move. That's not moving the needle. Patrick Beverley, man.
If we get a superstar,
I'm saying it like Soulja Boy with his Drake comment. Like, Drake? Patrick Beverley?
Patrick?
Yeah, but I'm saying if we could get KD and we could get Kyrie or Kemba, I'm saying we could get Patrick Beverley with the mid-level exception, I'd take him.
I actually like Patrick Beverley.
I do, but he's a little too off. I feel like he was made for the 90s, but he can't get away with that stuff now, man. They just won't let him. He'd embarrass himself in jail. I don't know, man.
I don't know. I just
feel like a lot of people saying Ricky Rubio, and that's all I want to say to my fellas, man. Y'all have a blessed night. JL is
all right, so back to you.
Coming back, man. I appreciate y'all, man.
Appreciate it, bro. Right. Appreciate it, man.
I would take Patrick as like a minimum. You got like as another backup. I would do that.
Nah,
another little dog. I would do that.
Yo, shout out Sylvester JLs. But yo, I was waiting for like, I'm like, wait, is there a free agent that he's about to bring up that I don't know? You know what I'm saying? Like, is he about to drop like a KD, Kawhi Leonard, like
Patrick Beverley?
My man said Patrick Beverley. I was fucking.
Yeah, I would take Patrick off the bench with Frank Collins. I would do that.
Listen, I like the guy, but they're not gonna let him get away with it, man. I like Patrick Beverley. Yo, the guard
and love Ron Baker, dog. Can you imagine? Yo, Patrick Beverley.
No, he'd be a favorite. He'd be a favorite.
It would be lit. Patrick, you talking all that smack right now? The way Ron Baker plays, Patrick Beverley could actually hit a jumper.
I mean, Patrick Beverley, he'd be the last of the last person on the free agent list if I'm Mills, I'm picking up the phone. I wouldn't call Patrick Beverley until like a week before training camp, man. Like, yo, Pat, do you have a team yet?
I call him weak too.
Oh, man. My man Sylvester hyped me up for Patrick Beverly, dog.
Patrick!
I need to bring the soundboard back, man, and get that Soldier Boy sound in there, man. Need that, bro. Need that.
I'm rocking with Patrick. That wasn't that bad.
Man. Shout out Sylvester, man. Shout out everybody in the chat, man. Give a thumbs up for your boys. Definitely subscribe to the channel. If you guys have not hit that subscribe button, I see there's 150 people in here. There's probably another 30 people in Nick of Time show. Almost 200 people. Subscribe wherever you at.
Yeah,
Knicks Fan TV, Nick of Time show. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that thumbs up and share these videos. All right, JLs, last call of the night because we got another game tomorrow, man. We got to wrap
this up. Oh, yeah, I'm tired.
Yeah, let's wrap this up early. People got work in the morning. All right, Rock, close it out. He wants to talk about the draft. What are you thinking, Rock?
Fellas, what's going on?
Chilling, man. How you feeling?
I'm good. No, number one, I know everybody's talking about Zion Williams. Now, honestly, if we draft Zion Williams, I think you draft him if you get number one. That's granted. But if you get number two or number three, my question is, would you trade down with Atlanta for number five and number nine? So that way you can get two assets instead of one. Because my thing is, I would pick up Romeo Langford and Kevin Porter Jr. You get a point guard and you get a two who is like almost James Harden-like talent in Kevin Porter Jr.
Kevin Porter.
Like you would stockpile talent right there and you can still build on your young core because you have players on our team right now that you're trying to get rid of. And if you're trying to still go young and rebuild, why not stockpile draft picks with that a high pick by trading down to get to two? And then you can just build off that talent. And then you still have a second round pick. So you get three picks in one draft. I just don't, for me, it's just hard to see the fit with Zion Williamson. Although I'm a big Duke fan, I would draft him if I have number one. But my thing is, how would you use him? That's my thing. Because KP's primary position is the four.
Fair question.
Kevin Knox is the shooting guard.
You have to move Knox to the two.
Knox is the shooting guard. There you go.
Okay.
His lateral, he got to really work on his defensive slides, though, yo. His defensive slides got to be on point. Those guards are a lot quicker.
The thing with me on trading down, I always think, and this is just my thing with trading down, I always feel like if there's a team that wants my one pick at that top of that lottery and they're going to give me two of theirs, then who is this player that they really want, and why aren't I drafting?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Think about trading down. Like, Danny Ainge was able to trade down because Philly, you know, thought Fultz was the guy. You know what I'm saying? And really, Tatum was really the guy that draft. Dallas and Atlanta made that swap for Luka Doncic for Trae Young. Luka's proven to be that guy right now.
But I think they were clearly stupid to trade Luka, though. That was just a dump. That front office was just stupid to just trade Luka. Who did their scouting? They needed to be fired. Whoever traded Luka needed to be fired.
Is that our problem?
I don't know.
That is not. but my thing is, at this point, if you get one player, or even if you get one first rounder and one second rounder, you get some good players, but if you can get two lottery picks for the one, and I understand everybody they've fallen off on Kevin Porter Jr. But if you look at this dude's talent, this dude is a beast, and I feel like Romeo Langford, with the right coaching staff, he can be coached up to be a great point guard.
Okay. All right, Rock. Well, I appreciate the call. We're going to have, like I said, we're going to have Spencer from the front office break down all these prospects, man. We're going to ask him about Kevin Porter Jr., J.L. is asking him about Romeo Langford and those guys. Listen, we got to be able to prepare for 1 through 5. That's what I'm thinking.
Yep.
You got to be able to prepare for 1 through 5. In what is regarded as not the deepest of drafts, I would go against trading down because you get two doesn't mean that they're going to even equal the production of one. You know what I'm saying? You just don't know.
That's why people trade for superstars. Superstars going to be worth more than two role players.
Right.
I mean, listen, like the tiers, supposedly the tiers are like Zion, is it one tier, and then there's a second tier, and then everybody else is bunched together.
Yeah.
So you figure that no one's really going to give up two draft picks if the tiers are that close together in the first place.
Facts.
So I'm not sure how likely that even is. Like, I can see somebody in that for Zion, but then after that, I'm not sure if he's going to be doing that, giving you two picks for one.
Yeah, I don't see.